UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and Happy New Year, everyone. I wish you all good luck and good health for 2021. And I certainly wouldn't be surprised if this year is going to be as equally as crazy as last year. So expect Godzilla by Easter, an alien invasion in the summer, and an asteroid at Christmas. But on a serious note, it's important to keep your head while others are losing theirs. And remember, the news channels perpetuate fear, so turn them off. Just about everyone has been affected in one form or another in the last few months. I, for one, has lost my regular job and will be unemployed in the next few weeks. But rest assured, things will get better. So don't think you're alone out there, because you're not. My email is always open, so if you need a chat or a boost. Okay, so our guest tonight is Stacy. Now, Stacy grew up in a small town close to White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico, and also a place where her grandfather worked. She has been witness to a multitude of strange crafts and paranormal experiences that she'll be sharing tonight. But we start off with a voice submission from Trish in California and what she witnessed. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Late 90s, and I was living down south in the San Diego County area. My friend and I took a little short road trip up the freeway and pulled out at a pullout that overlooks the San Diego metropolitan area. And there was a cloud cover, but not enough to, it was up, probably around, around a 3,000 foot level, but just enough that was just hanging right at the tips of the foothills where we were parked. So we were out of the car on a walkway looking south, and there was a big canyon between us and the other hillside, which was covered in a lot of clouds. It was a cloud bank from the coast. All of a sudden, this light turned on. I was looking right in the direction when this happened, and so was my friend. This light came on that was shaped like a disc, rather oval shaped. it snapped on and all of a sudden shot away. And it moved so fast. I've never seen anything move that fast before. So I was like, whoa, friend, did you see that? My friend saw it. And we were just standing there sort of like dumbfounded for a few moments. And I started thinking, what could that have possibly have been? Well, in the greater San Diego area, they always have these big lights, you know, that advertise car lots and what have you. But usually you see a stream of light. And we were in a remote area. We were far away. We were at least 20 miles away from areas like that, up in the foothills on Interstate 8 East. And just before you get to, it was past Alpine, before you get to Viejas. There's a pullout there on the freeway. And so it was quite remote. So I don't know how. Plus, those mountains that are right at that spot is like remote until almost you get down to, you know, Descanso and Jamul and, you know, places way south in San Diego, going towards the border of Tecate. And so I don't even know where one of those lights could have been to shine a disc that was that large. I mean, it was a very, very large disc. It's hard to give a measurement, but maybe a half a football field large. You know, it was across a kind of a big canyon, maybe a mile across. Anyway, I cannot explain what that was. So in my mind, I saw a UFO that night because I cannot explain what it was. Also in that year, we observed Hayakutake, the comet that went through. Now, this is not a UFO sighting. We knew what this was, but I just wanted to add this because it's sort of interesting, a sky-watching story. On our way up to the mountains, up to Laguna Mountain Pass in San Diego County, we were going to go up there and observe the Hayakutake because there's less lights up there. On our way up, going up 8 East, we saw a fireball. And it's just like you would see in the cartoons, a great big ball falling through the sky with flames coming off the end. You know, your friends at school used to draw those pictures with the awesome looking flames and exactly how it looked. And all of a sudden it fell into the mountains and made a big flash. And we were like, whoa, did you see that? Yeah, whoa, did you see that? And again, we were dumbfounded. And we're like, well, what was that? And my friend said, well, I think that's what they call a fireball. And I was just like, whoa. That day I'd worked a lot of extra hours at work. It was really late and we still went up to the mountains and observed Hayakutake, which was also an amazing spectacle because you could see the tail behind, like flickering all the little ice crystals or whatever it is that's up there. It's truly amazing. But anyway, I enjoy, the work that you do, UFO Chronicles. I appreciate you and happy new year. And I hope everybody else has a terrific 2021. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Stacy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel so blessed. Thank you.
Happy to have you with us. And you're calling from North Carolina tonight.
Correct.
Now, Stacy, you're going to be sharing some of your paranormal encounters, but first you have a story involving your grandfather and White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico.
Correct. Yes, I sure do.
Would you like to start at the beginning for us?
Yes. The only reason why I can remember this so vividly is because I actually wrote it down, because I write down everything. This happened when I was about probably 6 or 7 years old. And I was the favorite, of course. And he's technically my great-grandfather. But he used to tell me, you know, secret stories about the missile range, like when they tested certain missiles. But he would tell me, and he got to watch them, and he was so excited. So I felt like the insider, you know. Then he said that they were having, you know, bring your daughter to work day, and if I would like to go. And I was like, yeah, I want to go. And what I remember is that we got up and it was still dark. It stayed dark when we were traveling because technically where I lived, it's pretty far from the missile base. It seemed like forever. And when we finally reached the gate, the light was just coming up. We checked in and you know, it was so barren. It was so weird looking, the bases. And but then we took another road and then it was dirt. And we traveled on that road forever, it seemed. Of course, I was a child. So, you know, to a child, it seemed like forever. And we reached a place to where there was like, you didn't see any. I think I saw like maybe 2-3 other vehicles, but that's it. And there, it was like, what in the world? You know, okay, this is where my grandpa works. So we go into a building, take an elevator. There's nothing, when you first walk in, there's nothing distinguishable that I can remember. I remember the elevator, taking it up. I don't know which floor, but when we got off, we still had to take stairs and rights and lefts. It was like a maze and it was white. There was no distinguishable notations or numbers on doors like they usually do or would have on a base. And we just kept going up and right, left. And then we finally entered what is called the chow hall. To the left, you can see there was a couple of cooks cooking breakfast and there was two soldiers eating at the tables. And you look to your right, there's a great big, huge, like, bay window. And I was just amazed. I was like, wow, we're way high. And so I looked out the window and I seen the main highway. And everyone travels on this highway and you pass what I was in. And I asked my grandpa, I was like, where are we? Because that's the highway, you know, because this is the desert. There's nothing there for miles and miles, just the highway. He told me, well, you know, that big red jetting out rock that you see all those antennas, you know, that's where we're at. I'm like, wait, how are we in that? I'm confused. And he explained to me, he's like, yeah, that, you know, that we're inside of it. I was like, how come you can't see the windows then from the highway? And he's like, oh, we're too high up. But me being an adult now and researching these windows are, it was way before the technology times back then, but I believe we have it now. There's no way you can tell they're windows, even if you're up close. So that's how, because you can't see nothing. You just see antennas. And so you just thought it was for radio. That's it on the highway. Anyway, I just remember us just standing there by, you know, the windows of the cooks. You know, we were just standing there. I was like, well, Grandpa, I'm kind of hungry. He's like, hold on. Then a very tall gentleman, I can tell you now, he was like a general or something. He was in his class A's and he had all kinds of awards or whatever. He gave me the creeps instantly, of course. He's like, oh, is this the one you've been talking about to my grandfather? He's like, yes, this is my little one I've told you about. And he was gleaming from ear to ear. And the man tried to shake my hand and I tucked behind my grandpa away from him because, like I said, gave me the creeps. I didn't say a word, but he was like bent down. He asked, well, hey, do you want to see my office before you go see your grandpa's? It's right there. It's the second door on the left in the hallway. And it was straight ahead of me when you walk in. And I shook my head no instantly. I looked and looked down there. I was like, nah, I'm good. You know, no. And my grandfather and the general just looked at each other for a minute. The general just nodded his head up and down. And my there was no words said. And then he walked away in down the hall and went into the second door on the left. And so my grandfather, he's like, okay, let's eat. They really didn't have much to eat. I remember that. Not much of a selection. But I do remember, you know, I was like, okay, fine, I'll just get the eggs and the toast, because that was pretty much it. The other two soldiers were gone by this time, so my grandpa and I sat at a table that was located like in the middle of the area, but you couldn't see out the windows to where you can see the highway. But the last thing I remember is eating the eggs, and that's it. I don't remember leaving. I don't remember the trip home. Until the next thing I remember, it was dark when we got home. And my granny come out the door and she ordered me inside into my room. And I could hear her, you know, go off on my grandfather and said, where were you? Where did you take her? And he's like, well, they had, you know, father-daughter day and I just took her with me, da 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 da. And she just laid into him. She was like, oh, you didn't even tell anybody. I thought she was kidnapped and, you know, going off. Well, she stayed ticked off at my grandpa, I don't know, forever. And I was forbidden to go with him anywhere, even to the grocery store after that. So to this day, I have no clue what went on. And to add to the story, I even asked my grandfather, because I was looking around to see other kids, and I didn't see any, even when we were walking the stairs and going down the hallways, no other kids. And I asked why, where are the other kids? Because I wanted, you know, kids to play with. And he's like, oh, they're probably in the offices with their fathers, but yet no kids at all. Nothing. It was like nobody was there. All I saw was the two soldiers, the two cooks, the general, my grandpa. That's all I remember. A couple of years, maybe three later, you know, I was wondering about it because I didn't remember anything after. And I asked my grandfather, I was like, hey, you remember when you took me to work? I don't remember, you know, anything. Can you, what did we do afterwards? You know, how come we got home so late? And he's like, he just said, shh, immediately, because my granny was in the kitchen cooking. He's like, that's our little secret. So, of course, I kept it a secret because he told me his secret. So I felt privileged and I never thought of it again. Validity to this is he even told me how they would transfer goods, missiles or what have you, and how they would do it. And anybody who's listening to this military knows what I'm talking about, how they travel on the highways and how they transfer stuff. And he told me that's how they got this specific missile that they use to this day. Actually, they just used it in the beginning of the war, I believe. And he told me that's how they transferred it to, I think it's like Fort Carson. And he mentioned some other names, but I couldn't remember those. But ever since my granny put her foot down, he and I just had, you know, distanced ourselves. But when I was getting older, probably my first experience of seeing anything weird, I believe I was 10 or 11, looking at the sky. That's what you do in a very boring little blink your eye desert town, is just stare at the sky at night. And we would, as kids in this town, it was a thing we did. We would just go to the only place that had grass, which was the park, and we just lay there, talk, and we would always watch how these, it looked like stars, and then they would just shoot off. You know, we would, and we thought they were stars for the longest time. Until I was in a vehicle and I was dating at the time. So I must have been 15, 16 years old. I think I was 16. And my boyfriend at the time was driving and we were driving back from south of the town, probably maybe 2 hours away from the little bodunk town that I lived in. I saw to my right that this light that was pulsing, it seemed closer than normal, so it wasn't a star, and it was like pacing with us. And I asked him, I was like, do you see that? And the only thing that came out of his mouth was, don't look at it, don't give it any attention. And I just did what he said, you know. I was like, okay, whatever. So I stopped looking at it, but I was still watching it in the corner of my eye. The thing went in front of the vehicle to where we could see it. And both of us, our eyes got wide and he slammed on the brakes and we just watched it and it sat there and it was coming towards us and he was about to throw it in reverse. He was freaking out and I was just amazed. I thought it was cool. And it just shot straight up, just straight up in the sky. The colors that I saw were blue and white. That's pretty much all I saw. It was not defined, so it wasn't that close to where I can define really what it looked like. But shooting straight up in the sky, that was pretty odd. So because of that, I started really paying attention to the skies. And it turned out to be an everyday event in this little town. Everybody was used to seeing strange objects in the sky, shooting this way, that way. And I remember one night, I was standing outside with across the neighbors. I guess she just got home. And I was just staring at the sky at my granny and grandpa's house on the porch. And I thought it was an airplane. It was odd because it didn't have red lights. It just was white, but it was like pulsing a little bit, not just off on, just like breathing. And it was going to my left. And then I didn't hear anything. You couldn't hear anything, but you could hear. All of a sudden I seen two, you could tell it was aircraft because they had blinking red lights. And when they passed me, you can tell they were jets because you could hear them. And it was like they were chasing this one white light. My neighbor screamed. She was freaking out. And then it also just shot away from it. Like it was teasing the two jets. It shot off and everybody in that town reported it, even to the base, even I think to the base in Colorado. I'm not sure. It was everyone in the town finally had it because nothing was being done. You know, you couldn't call the cops, couldn't tell the police anything because they wouldn't even come out, interview, nothing. And of course, nothing happened. And that specific event just deterred everybody. In this town, we just said, man, no one's going to do anything. Just whatever. Just let it be. It apparently happens to this day because I called a very good friend of mine not too long ago. And he said, oh, yeah, it's still going on in the town. Just don't report it anymore unless they're newbies. My next thing I want to tell you was a day event. It was about 3 p.m., I remember, because I was getting out of school, walking home, high school, walking home. And I was going to my, you know, granny's house because I was staying there at this time. And over her house, it seemed like if you stood on the top of the house, you could almost touch this craft. And it looked like your typical UFO, like old time UFO, like it had a half a circle on top, like a dome, and then the circular disc. And I was just staring at it because it was so close. It was almost touching the trees even that was next to the front porch. And I was just standing there just looking at it. And I was trying to see, you know, like any insignia or anything because, you know, growing up with somebody that worked on base, you knew to look for insignia or anything like that. But what I noticed is that there was no seams. And if anybody's familiar with aircraft, you can tell that the metal is like bolted. Well, it didn't have it. It was more like very soft. It even looked like fluid. It was silver metal looking and it just sat there. You know, my granny was like, what are you doing? I was like, come out here, check this out. And she was like, well, I need to talk to you. I was like, no, granny, seriously, look above you, step out of the door and look right above you. Look at this. And I noticed everybody on the street was standing outside looking at the same very thing. But next thing I remember is my granny literally screaming at the top of her lungs. And she somehow had the phone in her hand, the one with the long cord, the old time phone. I remember it was tan. And she was talking to somebody on the phone. And when she was like, Stacy, and I finally paid attention, she's like, oh, get in here now. And the craft was still there. I start heading inside. She's like, why didn't you talk to me? You just stood there. I was like, what are you talking about? I just came over here. You just called my name. But apparently she told me that I was just standing there like I was frozen. She was screaming my name and I did not pay her any mind. She held the phone to her chest to where someone couldn't hear. But she sent me to my room again. And of course, I was listening through the door. She was talking to my grandfather. And of course, I knew he was at work. So I guess she must have called him and told him. I'm not, to this day, I don't even know if she saw it because she would always, like, every time I asked, she was like, well, she would go cook or act like she didn't hear me. I don't know if she saw it. But I do know the neighbors did. But what's weird is that was pretty much all the neighbors were out there watching it. But only a few remember it, like, vaguely. And I'm saying, like, even a week after I would, you know, questioning the neighbors, because that's naturally who I am. I want to know. I love to learn stuff. And only like a few of them said, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember something like that. And we saw you in the street. But yeah, we don't really remember anything after that, which was weird. But like I said, when I was looking at it, I was not scared, not at all. I didn't feel anything negative, so I was curious. I have seen craft that obviously was made by human hands that I know of, because you could see the rivets, like the ceiling. Because I've seen so many things in the skies in New Mexico. It's unreal. And I lived all over that state. But this little town, for some reason, is like the hub. No, it's not Roswell. So I have no idea why, but it's just an everyday event. Still is to this day. Even reports in Albuquerque, you don't get like we did have in Socorro, or do have when people do call in. But when I got married, he got stationed on the East Coast. And of course, I just jumped at, you know, to get out of New Mexico, because there was nothing for youth or young people to do, or even job-wise, really, unless you were military or worked at the array or something like that. So when I moved here, everything just stopped, which was odd to me because I was so used to seeing something. And I do remember seeing, teaching myself, going to the libraries about, you know, experimental aircrafts that they were working on for the future. And the one I did see, they did film it, and you can still see it. You can look it up, probably Google it. It's the one that it looked like it was bouncing. I seen that, but it was airborne when I saw it. And that's sort of kind of what I did see during the day, but it didn't have rivets, like I said. And I could tell it was not from here unless they just, you know, haven't been letting this kind of information out. I was always intrigued by aircraft. Ever since then, I was even going to join the Air Force. And I even got 3 letters of recommendation to do so, but thank goodness it fell through. Here on the coast, we haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything, except for this year. Of course, my neighbor and I were standing outside. We were the only ones. This is when they did the voluntary lockdown. You know, it was voluntary before they even said so because of the virus thing going on. And we looked and we saw, and we could not hear it, but we could tell that this lights, it was red and white blinking. You could see the red more than the white light. And I was like, can you hear that? She said no. And we just stood there looking at it. And it came right above our heads. And the only time we could hear it was when it was directly over our heads. But as soon as it passed us, you couldn't hear anything. Just seconds, you know, it was right, just right there. And what it looked like is so weird. You know, the ball and jacks way back in the day that kids played with, right? It looked like a jack with 2 white lights blinking and a red light in the front that blinked, but it stayed on longer and it looked bigger. And then it like stopped and turned around like it was going over us again, freaked my neighbor out. Of course, not me. I'm used to weird stuff. So I stood out there for the longest, but then I was like, if you can hear it, that means it's one of ours. It's got to be a drone or something. So I went inside. So of course, I did some research and found out. Of course, everyone knows now, so I can say it. But it's a military drone. The big ones that no one was supposed to know at the time. And it must have come to the close base that I live by. It was the drone. I guess they were testing it. And this is when they stopped all flights. There's not supposed to be any flights or anything like that. So they must have been just messing around with the drone. But when they finally opened up about the drone is because so many people went on social media or whatnot and was saying, hey, look, we've seen this. What is it? You know? And so they couldn't keep a lid on it. So their debut was going over a Coliseum with the drone, showing it off. So that's, they're like, oh yeah, it was us the whole time. And the reason why I'm saying that is to let people know, military, they'll hide it. But if they're blown way out of the water, they have to come up with something. They'll give you half truths, I've noticed.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Like I said, I was married to the military for a very long time. That's just how they roll. And of course, I want to let all the soldiers out there know I appreciate you. And I know you guys have your own stories and you can't really talk about it. And that's part of why I'm talking about it. Because like I said, my ex was witness to the things I saw, except for the day one. And not only am I a witness to that, but my whole entire life, ever since I can remember, I called them my special friends. That's what I called them. And my mother, she said, oh yeah, they're, you know, your guardian angels. Because I never really had friends because I was the weird kid. But when I got a little bit older, my mother, you know, started to ask me, who am I talking to? What do they look like? I would tell her, and she just smiled finally. And she's like, Stacy, you need to sit down. I need to tell you something. I was like, okay. She's like, you're stronger than I am. That's why you can speak to whoever you're speaking to. And she insinuated it was angels or what have you. And so she did feed that into me, even though I come from and was born and raised into a very strict church. I'm not going to say the name, but it's, they're very strict. You're not allowed to do a lot of stuff. It's very indoors kind of church. They don't believe in anything like this at all. They don't believe in, they believe in, you know, yes, souls and all that, especially beings from another planet. My whole life, I knew it was stupid to me, my opinion. I always knew that there was, you know, out there, there's got to be some intelligent life. I just always knew. It was just matter of fact. And because I just thought, well, if God is omnipotent, why would he only do, you know, create us? Who are we to put bounds on him or her? But my church, I started catching on from very early age how hypocritical it was. And my mother was so cool. She raised me, tried to her best to raise me away from part of my family that's very strict into the church. They're very high up. So, because she didn't want me to grow up like she did. So stale, you know, and, you know, like a robot. So she's like, well, if this doesn't feel right to you, this church, go ahead, try other churches. I did. I've tried every church you can imagine. And what I've come to find out and believe is that all of them are correct to a degree. And yes, I do believe in aliens, entities, what have you, from different dimensions, planets. I don't know for a fact. No one really knows. I've never really talked about this. In fact, you're the first person that I'm really just putting it out there. In January is when I just came out of the closet, I guess you can say. Kick that door wide open, buddy. And I lost a family, which I knew that was going to happen, but I just recently got back in contact with them after 20 plus years of steering clear of that part of the family. Friends, but that you can tell they weren't really friends if they dropped me like a bad habit. I always knew, and until recently, I had dreams constantly. There were night terrors. I was diagnosed and all of that as a kid. And they treated me for night terrors. And it was always about like the end of the world, apocalyptic, but it was always different. It was either water, flooding, comets, fire, what have you. And I was terrified my whole life, you know, about that. And I was going to go through it. I just, you know, knew I was going to go through it or go through something like that. And here we are in 2020, people. And what does it look like to you guys? Just asking. I'm finally okay with it. I am a firm believer that God has blessed me with gifts and that I finally, finally accept. I denied him for years until January. I was like, okay, God, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm here for a reason. If I'm your tool, so be it. Started in January with the abilities, empathic. I have sight and I can I actually see things now, like the future, instead of me being kind of asleep. And it looked like black and white VHS tape, but now it's in color and I can be talking to somebody and it'll just come to me. But like I said, paranormal wise, I was witness to, ghosts, but I'm not quite sure, you know, how to really define it. My first experience that I do remember is us moving into a house that had like a river that was behind it, but it was probably just a deep stream. Now, that house just immediately gave me the creeps and I refused to go inside. I started kicking and screaming and crying when my mother tried to, you know, take me inside to look at my room. And I was like, no. So she took me out back. Well, let's go see how big the yard is and the water. And we did. And, you know, I started calming down. I remember that house because my mom's friend, she lived downstairs, which, you know, turned into like a room. And the stairs were still cement. And I remember specifically my mother always scrubbing them stairs, you know, getting these like dark spots off. But yet she would do it like every other week, constantly. And I never knew why. I think we only lived there for a few months. And my mother finally told me, you know, when she finally told me what she thought I was seeing and that I was stronger than her and it skips generations and I shouldn't have it, but all that jazz. She told me what happened with that house. And of course I did research on this house and it's true. A man killed his wife and child in that house and buried, I'm not sure if both of them, but buried for sure the wife in the basement and put cement over her. Those black spots were blood that my mom told me that she would scrub off and it would come back. And I do remember them being gone and they come back. And I'm like, why do they keep coming back? Maybe, you know, it's my mom's friend. I called her my aunt, though. Maybe she keeps messing it up or something. But she only stayed there for max a month. I remember her just ditching out. She even left her stuff. I remember that. She finally, you know, told me too that she had to leave because there was something very dark in the basement. My mom told me she wasn't worried about me because she came home one time from grocery store and her friend was babysitting me. I was taking a nap and something just told her to check on me. You know, it was during the day I was taking a nap. So she busts in my door and she says she sees the blankets coming up over me like I was getting tucked in, and she started to freak out, but she saw a woman that just looked at her and she said that she could see through her and she just smiled and then just disappeared. She told me that, you know, she started, I guess, trying to communicate with her, and what she got is that she was protecting me because she couldn't protect her daughter. What she got from this entity is that her husband, you know, killed them both, and he keeps the daughter pretty much stashed away in the basement, like hidden. And that's why it's so negative down there. And like I said, I looked it up. The murders did happen. I believe he committed suicide, if I remember correctly. He committed suicide shortly after. I went through a stage that I didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the devil, didn't believe in anything, because my life was pretty hard growing up. Many times, lived on the streets, all that, you know, just the way I grew up, very extremely hard, had to learn how to be an adult real quick, tried to, lived it hard. And I tell you what, when you don't believe in negative energy or devil or anything like that, it will show its rear its head and prove it believes in you because it happened to me. My mother and stepfather were purchasing a house that's brand new that the people had built, you know, and they told us that they just, you know, just didn't want to be in the house anymore. They didn't really give a reason. But when we went into this house, it was brand new. Like I said, their stuff was still there. Like they just up and left, except for their bedroom, like beds, some clothing, except for my room. My room did not have carpet. It had hard floor. And in the closet, all the clothes were in there, even just piles of it. But anyway, that was my room. Horrible, horrible place. It was by Elephant Butte Lake. Anybody familiar with that, they probably know about the house by now. But my first night there, I, you know, pushed it off. It was a new house, so I'm creeping myself out. Even though I was, what, 17 at the time, maybe, or just turning 17, I shouldn't be like that. I had the light, the main light on. I had my lamp light on. I didn't have my bed yet, so I was sleeping on the hard floor with a bunch of blankets. I was writing letters to my friends back in the little town that I came from. Then I started getting sleepy, you know. So it was around, last time I looked at the clock, it was about 3:43, I believe. But I slept. Made sure to leave the lights on because I just didn't feel right. Well, I was startled awake. My eyes, I could open and I can move them around, but I could not move. And of course, doctors said it was sleep paralysis, but it doesn't explain why I could not breathe. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. Couldn't move. I was pinned, and I heard, for lack of a better word or definition, like a growling in my left ear. Couldn't see anything, but like a growl. It was inhuman. I never heard this, not even on like National Geographic, nothing like that. And so I closed my eyes and I started to pray. And, you know, I was asking for protection. And as soon as in my head, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, I could talk. And so I screamed for my mother, which her bedroom was directly across from mine in the hallway. I just kept screaming. And I heard her screaming and banging on the door. And my stepdad telling me to, why am I holding the door shut? This door does not have a lock on it. It just didn't have any kind of lock on it. So there was no reason why they couldn't turn the knob and come in. My stepfather at the time ended up having to break the door in, and my mom was screaming, saying, get away from my daughter, and she was cursing, because in the process of this, I put the blankets over my head, so I didn't see anything, but she did tell me that she saw like a white mist above me, above my body. That's what she was screaming at, she said. What's weird is that my mother said, I thought it was those aliens again, which I didn't really catch on to until I got old enough to live on my own and get away. To this day, I don't know why again was part of that statement, but she did say that. But she, you know, like our family was just weird. We didn't really talk anything about that. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it has to do with the religion that I was raised in. So we just didn't talk about it really. If you did, you get excommunicated, or you get shunned or whatever. My family, you get excommunicated from the family too. So we were the black sheep already. My mom already was a black sheep, so it came to me. But this thing, whatever it was, I don't know, demon, whatever, to this day, it was some kind of attachment because it followed me for years. Because I did leave. As soon as I got a hold of my grandmother the next day, I told her to come get me. And it was my mom's mom. She did, because she lived near us. My grandma said that she would move in the room with me if I go back, and that she'll protect me. So it took a lot of talking me into it. But we went back. with her dog, Junior. In the beginning, I slept with the lamp, trusty lamp, you know, next to me. And then it switched to the TV. My grandma would go ahead and leave the TV on. I woke up one time, and Junior usually had nothing to do with anybody but my grandma. I woke up to Junior laying on top of my chest, growling and barking at the window. And it was weird because I when I came to, and even my grandma came to, we could tell that something was right outside the window, and it didn't feel good. You just got this instant negative feeling. Everyone gets these feelings, so you know what I'm talking about, everybody. But it was pretty intense, and the dog would just stare and bark and growl. Otherwise, you didn't hear a peep from this dog. It was really weird. Even my grandma was tripping out. So it was starting to verify to her what, you know, happened to me. The last night we stayed there, we were playing the Nintendo Mario Brothers in the living room. Everyone was asleep. We were staying up, like having a, you know, little girls night up party, slumber party. I heard what they, you know, kids use in the gym and school, that orange ball. That what it sounds like when you bounce it off of either a wall, well, the wall and the floor of the gymnasium. That's what it sounded like in my room. I was like, Grandma, do you hear that? So we paused the game. She heard it. She's like, oh, that's your brothers. That's your brothers. They're messing with you because their room was kind of next to mine. So I was like, no, that's not it, Grandma. So I got up. I pause the game again, and I go in to check my brothers. They're sound asleep with my brother's dog, Tanya, laying on top of him, sound asleep. But, of course, I couldn't hear the ball anymore. And I'm like, okay. So we sit down again, and it does it again. And my grandma paused the game again, and she just looked. She was like, are you sure it wasn't them? I was like, I'm sure, Grandma, that that's coming from my room. And as soon as I said that, we were both looking. And you could see the light going on and off, you know, because of the cracks of the door, especially the bottom of the door. The light was going on and off. And Junior started growling at the door, you know, and he was standing guard with us. And we were just staring at it, the light. And all of a sudden, it looked like something or someone was beating the heck out of the bedroom door. You could visually see it and hear it. My grandma threw the controller, and she said, that's it. We're gone. She grabbed me by the hand, grabbed Junior, and we went to her friend that was visiting, and he was camped out at one of those camp places, like where you can go take your RV. And he had a little camper, and I remember we crashed there for the longest time until my grandmother got a place back in the little Bodunk town that sees UFOs on a daily basis. And I never stepped foot in that house again. However, like I said, this thing followed me. The church I grew up in, they don't believe in this kind of stuff. They don't believe in possession or attachment or anything like that. They do believe in the devil, of course, but nothing of this sort. This thing followed me, and there were so many witnesses to what was going on, even in my family and church, that my grandfather, because he was high up in the church, I guess he called around, and these men from different churches, not just our church, all across the United States. Okay. I come home. Well, no, I go into my grandma's one time because my mom just takes me. They don't tell me why. I just go. And they have a chair sit, and my grandpa was like, have a seat. And I was like, no, what's going on? Why, who are these people? You know, I was old enough at this time to be all, what's going on? I don't even go to church anymore. What's going on? And he's like, we're going to give you a blessing, sweetheart. I was like, why? You know, and he's like, to help protect you. And at this time I've had it, you know, because I was not protected. Whatever was following me still did it to this day, would paralyze me, couldn't breathe. And of course, every time I prayed, it would leave, but it started occurring all the time, even nap times, you know, just after work or whatever. They, like I said, they don't believe in possession. So they didn't do exorcisms or anything of the sort. They had me sit down. They placed their hands above my head and told me to bow, close my eyes, and they prayed over me. And all of a sudden, I got a smell of like wildflowers, you know, after they were done. And the air just seemed lighter. And when I opened my eyes, it just seemed brighter to me. Ever since then, no problems. I've been good. Haven't had that thing, whatever. Get me again.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
My best friend that's still back over there has a friend that practiced Wiccan. She's a Wiccan. And, you know, I was still searching because I knew there was a higher being, the source, God. I knew that, because what I went through, there has to be. So he introduced me to her because he's like, you need to talk to her. Tell her, you know, what's going on, because you've lived a pretty crazy life and you're still young. So went to her, and instantly that came out of her mouth. She was like, you need to start protecting yourself. You're like an antenna. First words, didn't even know her name, nothing. I was like, what? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just supposed to tell you that you really need to start protecting yourself because you're like an antenna. That's why things happen to you. You know, and she even told me, she's like, I know you really don't have a specific religion, but you do pray. So pray, you know, she's like, this is what I do. Of course, she told me what she does and all that. But she did, you know, warn me that she's like, this thing is going to follow you, but it can't do anything to you because you are protected by a higher being. But you need to recognize that this, you know, it exists and pray and, you know, keep yourself protected. Because if you slip, it'll come back. So I stuck by those words. She also told me, she didn't even know why. She's like, look, I'm supposed to tell you you're one of five. One of five what? I don't know. That's all I'm getting. One of five. She's like, I don't know, like a warrior. I don't know. But you're one of five. It's important. You'll find out. You'll find the other four later. I was like, okay, well, this is weird. Whatever. It's always been in the back of my mind, but I never really thought about it until recently. It was last year, November, because just weird stuff started beginning globally, not just with me, but with the whole world. Weird stuff started happening, you know. Like, we've had a bunch of eclipses and all this, weird 2020, and then before that, you know, and, but in January, like I said, busted down the door. What's weird, social media, I was on social media, and it said I had friend requests, and of course, I did my due diligence and did research, because I do that on the reg. I do not believe anything I hear, and partially what I see. I have to find out for myself. I looked into these people that friended me because I'm naturally paranoid. But of course, you know, we're best friends now. But what's weird is that they did screenshots and it shows that I friended them, but I did a screenshot and it said they friended me. So I'm not sure if that's a glitch on social media. Could be, who knows? But they're still my friend. And what's weird is that there's four of them and we're very close. And, I've been a shut-in for about 8 years. Don't go out, not even to clubs or anything like that. Don't want to. I just go to the grocery store, work, home. Been to go see them because they all live in the same state except for one. And I go see them and going down there on the regular to go see them. But to this day, lately, I can tell everyone that I've been, I guess, getting visitations and their lights, though. And it's weird because I know who they are. Like, I didn't forgive my mother for the longest time because of stuff that happened to me when I was younger. I blamed her for years and I actually hated her. But when I finally forgave her this year, you know, it's like a weight getting lifted off. I forgive all those now. Took me still a little time to forgive myself because I was no innocent angel. But I can tell my best friend, she passed away not too long ago. In fact, her mother adopted me. It's kind of weird how that worked out. She's very experienced in therapy, psychological and stuff. And so she helped me through my issues and everything. And that's why I was able to forgive and, you know, stop being so bitter and hateful. Get that out of my life. I started seeing pink, like a pink light. What's weird is that the night that she died and I got the news, I was listening to a CD, but then all of a sudden it sounded like the station changed and it changed to her favorite song, which is Halo. It started playing that and I pulled over and just started crying. But then it went back to the CD. What's crazy about that is that at the same time, I'm not going to say her name, but another friend of hers, a mutual friend, she was on the computer doing her schoolwork. There was a song that just instantly came on her computer and the screen just like jetted out, like it just, you know, turned off. And it was a hymn. She was tripping out on that. And then, of course, she didn't know about our friend at the time. Ever since then, she visits. She's usually a pink orb looking thing. And I've noticed when I just ignore it or just think, oh, it's all in my head, things electrical start weird happening. And I'm not the only one that's noticed this. Even my neighbors have seen this and they're like, okay, you attract weird. So people are too freaked to visit our place, but that's okay. But my mom has come and visit. When my great-great-grandma passed away, she visited me in a dream and I didn't know she died yet. I was told the next day when I got a phone call. And when I described who was with her, my granny told me, well, she dropped the phone and she told me that was, you know, my great-great-grandma's husband and he was a farmer. And what's weird is that I described his hat, which I didn't know about because he was gone by the time I was born. He was a farmer and he was hit by lightning 5 times. And so he had holes in his hat and he called it his lucky hat. And he always wore that hat, even though he got struck with lightning. Man, you know, silly man. But when I described that to her, that's when she knew I saw them. And that's when she started actually paying attention to me and kind of accepting maybe, you know, our church don't know everything. So she finally started accepting, look, there's something more to my granddaughter than this. So that was a good thing. But of course, she's with them now. So is my grandfather. There's only a few of my family left. And I'm not the only one that sees the lights, by the way. My neighbors have, obviously. There's pink, white, and then there's a blue. The blue I nicknamed A because I don't know who. I don't get the feeling of who it is. I don't think, maybe it's my guardian angel. I don't know, but I know not like the human being here. You know what I mean? That's the feeling I get from it. What's weird is that one night I got a picture of it even. Not one night, it was one day. It was in the middle of the day, the sun was straight up. And I seen the blue light, the orb. But I was like, dang, what are you doing here outside? And you're really big and bright, just staring at it. So I took a picture of it. And I was able to take a picture of it. I didn't know, but at the time, my adopted mom, she saw it. So did my neighbor. And she took a picture of it at the same time. So it's verified. She's like, oh, so you've been seeing it too. I've been seeing it all the time. This blue light always comes. And I didn't know her that well. You know, she's relatively new. So I didn't really talk to her. But we connected that way. So that was another verification for me because, like I said, you know, I'm like, I'm overthinking or, nah, just seeing stuff. Everything I'm telling you has been verified by witnesses, family, people I don't even know. That's why I'm telling you guys this, because it is verified by other people. But I wanted to say again, Nick, thank you it's awesome that I connected with you. I know it's no coincidence. They helped me, I guess they must have helped me get in contact with you somehow, because I've been trying to find someone to get my story out, and maybe they can help me figure out what really happened to me in that building that was in a formation of a rock. Because it, you know, the color isn't the same of the desert. And it's just like by itself in the middle of flat nothing by a highway. But I was hoping that maybe someone out there could tell me why I was taken here. Or maybe it was bring your daughter to date. I don't know. But why would I be the only kid, not see other kids? And why would he want me to see his office? Why don't I remember stuff? But I remember everything else. Even 5 years old, 3 years old, I can remember stuff. You know, I just don't understand. That's my story.
It's very much similar to what Bob Lazar said about when he was working Rangroom Lake. And the buildings, they're all heavily camouflaged, very similar to what you said about the building. He said there was hangars there, which would just basically look like rock.
I didn't know that. And I mean, I've heard about his story, but I didn't hear that. Okay, well, see, now I'm going to have to look into that.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this today, Stacey.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Really, thank you for giving us everyone a place to, you know, tell their story and get it off their chest or help someone else, you know, because that's another reason why I did it, to, you know, let people know they aren't alone. Thank you, Nick. You rock, buddy. And keep up the great work. I still need to listen to your last one, but like I said, I already binge-listened to the ones I didn't listen to before, because I was already listening to you before.
Well, Stacey, it's been wonderful having you on the show tonight.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you so, so much, really. I know I probably talked your ear off, but I'm still kind of nervous, so yeah, just bear with me, man. But anyway, you have a great one, and thank you again, and God bless you and your family.
And you too. Look after yourself, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, have a good night. Bye.
That is all for this episode. Keep updated with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member have had an encounter you would like to share, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head on over to my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com, and reach out to me via the contact page. Thank you to Stacey and Trish for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.
Side. And we fought on the run. As the sky lit up all around us from our guns. And again it was you. Horse and asked his name. He said, I'm Leopold, and you're the man they sent to kill me, I've been told. You're the only man I know won't fight for gold, and that's why you're my best friend. Brothers all along to the end, and our paths crossed once before. It was many years ago before this war, and I gave you your name. It's what I've come so many miles to explain. You're the sun I never got to hold, and your name is Leopold. And at least before you killed me, you were told. Now I die at your side, and behold my only son as he cries. Your mother still waits for you. Please tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night, and you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. Who would run me through and take my life? On a day I met my son and lost my wife. But that is why I came. Say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is Leopold. Leopold. Now, my son, take this land. Tell your mother I succeeded in my plan. I met my only son, and I gave to him my land and all my guns. You are leaving.